Great rulers often have myths and legends form around them. From the deification of Alexander the Great to more recent examples like how George Washington could not tell a lie. Sometimes these stories are inspired by the leader's qualities and taken to the extreme, while other times they are calculated propaganda to help bring support to these leaders, or sometimes they're a mix of both. But what is unusual is when these myths and legends grow around a leader who doesn't even exist, as is the strange case of Prester John, the priest king of a non-existent Christian utopia. Lost Christian nations were not anything new to the medieval Christian churches of Europe, as the journeys of the Apostle Thomas to India told them that fellow Christians should exist elsewhere in the world, even if, with the rise of Islam, there seemed no way to reach them. This belief in far-off Christian nations was further supported by the existence of Nestorianism, a branch of Christianity that traditionally was established by Thomas and largely developed separately from the European Christian churches. This sect of Christianity spread far into the East, stretching from the Middle East to the edges of China at different points in history. It was from one of these Eastern Christian churches that a patriarch supposedly visited Pope Calixtus II in 1122, the only second-hand sources make mention of this meeting. This patriarch was called John, and he came from the Indian Church of St. Thomas. While speaking to the Pope, he made claims that he was both the spiritual and temporal ruler of a Christian nation in India. He also said that his land was watered by the Faison, one of the rivers mentioned in Genesis as being part of paradise, and that the capital of his city was so large that walking around its wall would take 4 days. Alongside his claims, he may have suggested that, given his position as a ruler, he may be able to provide aid to Christendom in times of need. 23 years later, it might have seemed that the Patriarch John had made true his promise when the Seljuk Sultan was defeated by a nation in the east. Word of this victory came to Pope Eugenius III from the Bishop of Jabala, who said that a Christian ruler that went by the name Prester John had struck the Persians. This ruler was incredibly wealthy, bearing an emerald scepter, and a descendant of one of the three magi who visited Jesus when he was born. These descriptions, while not exactly the same, appear to match up with Patriarch John. The bishop also reported that while Prester John had attempted to support the Crusader kingdoms, he had been deterred by the River Tigris and had been forced to return home. Despite the bishop's claims, the reality of the Sultan's defeat and Prester John was rather different. Rather than being defeated by an unknown Christian nation, the Persians had lost to a Mongol group called the Kirikitai, led by a Buddhist called Yalu Tashi. However, it's possible that the bishop had heard that the Sultan was defeated by a non-Muslim group, and thus assumed that they must be Christian. Also of note about the Kirikitai is that the title for their rulers is Gurkhan, which when translated into Latin produces Johannes. This, along with the memory of the Patriarch John, might have inspired the name Prester John, and it was under this name that all future myths would use. For 20 years, no one heard anything from Prester John, until, in 1165, a letter bearing his name sprung up across Europe. This letter was addressed to the Byzantine Emperor Manuel I Comnenus, but was soon being copied all across Europe, as the content of the text was of great interest due to the details Prester John gives of his kingdom. Among these details was the river Eudonis, a river of paradise running through his land, satyrs and giants being denizens of his country, an ocean of sand that still had fish and moved like waves despite the lack of water, and 10 tribes of Jews who are implied to be the lost tribes of Israel. Also included in this text was an anti-Byzantine bias, as the emperor is addressed merely as a governor of the Romans, and the great wealth of Prester John in comparison to the emperor is highlighted. For what purpose this letter was made remains a mystery, though modern speculation is believed it could have been to support papal government over the empire, or perhaps as propaganda for the Third Crusade. While it's unlikely that people reading the letter believed all the claims within, it was still given enough credibility that many believed that Prester John's kingdom existed. This included Pope Alexander III, who in 1177 sent a letter to Prester John. What became of his messenger is unknown, but no further communication from Prester John ever arrived. Again, the tales of Prester John grew dormant, with no new information coming to light until the end of the Fifth Crusade. At this point, Genghis Khan had struck at the Saracens and was forging the Mongol Empire. This information, muddled through distance and biased, became a relative of Prester John, called King David, had routed the Saracens from the east. With this new empire that Genghis Khan had built, travel to the east became far easier for Europeans, and so a number of missionaries were sent forth in search of Prester John's kingdom. One such missionary was a friar called John of Plano Carpini, who was sent by the Pope to carry letters to Genghis Khan in 1245. While visiting, he confirmed that the Mongols were not Prester John's people, though in different versions of his account, he detailed who the real Prester John was. In one version, Prester John lived besides the Kira Kitai in India Major, and had defeated the Great Khan by using explosives on the backs of horses, detonated by suicide soldiers. In another version, Prester John and his son David, who were kings of India, had been invaded by Genghis Khan and the Mongols, who had previously paid tribute to the priest king's realm. The difference in these stories is likely to do with the opinion of the times when they were told. The victorious Prester John turning back the Mongols comes from the hope that Christian kingdoms existed on the edges of the map as beacons of Christianity. The defeated Prester John came once knowledge of the East became more concrete, and hope for a far-off Christian domain had ended, as well as to gain favor with the powerful Mongol Empire. In 1253, another followed John of Plano Carpini in seeking the truth about Prester John. This would be Friar William of Rubruck, who was sent to the Mongols by King Louis IX of France. While in the Mongols' court, William learned about the various tribes that had been absorbed into the Mongol Empire, and eventually told a story that he believed was the truth of Prester John. According to William, the Kira Kitai had been ruled by a Nestorian Christian named John, whose brother Unk ruled the Kirites. When John died, Unk became the ruler of the Kira Kitai, but abandoned the Christian religion. He then attacked the Mongols, but was defeated and forced to flee to Cathay. It was the Kirites, then, who were the people of Prester John, and it appears as though William wanted to imply that the ruler Unk had lost because of abandoning Christianity, therefore explaining why no major Christian kingdom was established in the land of Prester John. While Friar William's story is not accurate, there is some historical basis in it. Unk was likely Tungrul, the chief of the Kirites who had once been the patron of Genghis Khan, but was defeated near the end of Genghis Khan unification of the Mongolian tribes. As for King John, the name and ruler of the Kira Kitai, Kuchluk, is likely the basis for him, though he was unlikely to have been Christian, and the reason for making him the legendary Christian priest king makes little sense. The reason for making this story, however, do make sense, as Friar William would have been able to learn much about the Mongolian tribe's history, and would have discovered that it was impossible for the Kira Kitai, who many thought were the people of Prester John, to be those people, as they had never been Christian. The Kirites, however, had been Christian, and were the most influential Christian group in Central Asia. This story, then, was William's attempt to shift the people of Prester John from the Kira Kitai to the Nestorian Kirites. The famous traveler Marco Polo also spoke of Prester John, agreeing with Friar Williams that the Kirites were the people of Prester John, though adding the cause of the conflict between them and Genghis Khan. In Marco Polo's tale, Genghis Khan had asked for Prester John's daughter in marriage, but received an insulting reply. In response, Genghis Khan declared war on Prester John, the conflict eventually ending in Prester John's death. Marco Polo also explained that Christian astrologers had prophesied that Genghis Khan would win, and for that reason he treated all Christians with respect. This tale has little historical accuracy, but was likely made in compliment of the Mongols, who were seen as defenders of Christendom thanks to their conquest of the Muslims. Many of the tales of Prester John in this era were likely made in some way for this purpose, that is, complimenting the Mongols while denigrating Prester John, as it appeared at the time that the Mongolian Empire would have great influence over the Christian Europe, and many found it wiser to be in this nation's good graces than a mythical kingdom none had ever seen or visited. Despite many starting to lessen Prester John and his kingdom in favor of the Mongolian Empire, many still wished to see the legendary kingdom described in his letter, rather than the minor Christian tribes that had been found. As such, people began to claim that Prester John was not a Central Asian king, but a king of India. India at the time was a vague location, with the African territory of Ethiopia sometimes being considered a part of it. It was here that Europeans again found their Prester John. Following the collapse of the Mongol Empire, travel to Asia again became difficult, and so searches of Prester John's kingdom solidified its location in Ethiopia. Ethiopia was more well known to the Europeans, though communications had been difficult since the spread of Islam. Because of this knowledge, a reason for how Prester John had ended up so close to Europe without being noticed had to be created. This reason drew upon the stories of Prester John's defeat by the Mongols, and had him retiring to Ethiopia after fleeing Central Asia. From this new location, Prester John could once again be a strong external ally to Christendom by diverting the Nile River and starving the Muslim Egyptians. Why he had not done this yet was a fiercely debated subject, with some believing he was being bribed by the Egyptians, while others argued that his piety prevented him from taking actions that would harm Christian civilians who also lived off the Nile. While these myths regarding Ethiopia could exist easily when the Ethiopians were a far-off group that had not had major contact since the rise of Islam, one would think that once diplomatic contact was re-established, the myth would be seen as a falsehood. This, however, was not the case, as in 1306, Ethiopian ambassadors arrived in Europe, with Europeans all over recording that the Patriarch of Ethiopia was the great Prester John. This is despite the fact that the ambassadors likely had no idea who that was. The African Prester John was fully solidified by 1329, when the missionary Jordanus wrote in his Mirabilia Descripta about the Third India, an alternate name for Ethiopia. In this text, Jordanus told of the king of Ethiopia and the wonders of his land, saying that Europeans referred to this figure as Prester John. This does not necessarily mean that Jordanus believed that Prester John was in Ethiopia, but merely knew that his European audience would recognize the title. A decade later, another artifact recognized the land of Prester John being in Ethiopia. This artifact is Angelino Dunkert's map, which shows the territory ascribed to Prester John, further showing how the priest king was no longer an Asian ruler, but now an African one. In 1441, the Ethiopians would again send ambassadors, this time to attend the Council of Florence. During this council, they were repeatedly confused that everyone was calling their monarch Prester John, and explained that this was not a title he had ever had. Despite their protest, most Europeans ignored the ambassadors, and so Prester John remained a common title for the Ethiopian king for numerous centuries. Until in 1751, Remedius Prytki asked Emperor Eyasis II about the title, to which the ruler was astonished, as he was apparently unaware of the title. It was with this that the Ethiopian Prester John legend eventually died. There were some other places where people continued to search for Prester John. For example, a number of early travelers to America were on the lookout for the Lingeri Kingdom, though few likely actually thought they would find it on a continent that had not been widely discovered by Europeans when the supposed letter of Prester John had been written. Similarly, in the 16th century, a group of Jesuit missionaries believed that Prester John may still be in Cathay, though this was disproven in 1603, when the missionary Benedict Goes found that Cathay of Marco Polo was actually just China, and not the realm of the priest king. With these loose ends finally tied up, the Prester John legend faded. That is not to say that it doesn't have an enduring cultural impact, small though it may be. For example, the writings of Shakespeare include a reference to Prester John in Much Ado About Nothing. Prester John is also a character in Marvel Comics, acting as a villain for Thor, Deadpool, and the Fantastic Four. Numerous books, usually fantasy or adventure, have also referenced the legendary figure in them. But with the edges of the map finally filled in, this territory of imagination is the only place that the mythical ruler can inhabit, the place where he began, and the place where he ends. Thanks for watching to hear about the myth of Prester John. If you liked this video, feel free to give it a like and subscribe, or check out one of my other videos. Thanks for watching.